Good morning. Wow. Isn't it amazing that we can come face to face and be able to gather and worship and also hear the word of God? My name is Casey, and this morning I am going to preach on a series that we're going to start. It is called Want More? What a wonderful question. Yes, of course I want more. So this is a series, a short series, three parts, where we're going to talk about finance, money. So the first week, we're going to look at contentment. Where do we find our contentment in? Does money give us contentment? I don't know. We're going to figure out. And then next week, oh, by the way, you've got us wonderful special speakers line up. I'm not going to tell you. Right? The next week, we're going to look at the confidence. You know, do we put our confidence or hopes in God or in money? And finally, we want to look at how money can make us more selfish or actually more generous. I tell you, it's amazing. I spent the last few days just meditating on His Word, and you know, it's really done a work even in me. So I want to start off today by just looking at this title of whether we love God or we love money. Where is the balance at? And our anchor verse is found in 1 Timothy 6. Chapter 6, verse 6 to 12. So, and let me tell you why we should be concerned about money, because the Bible talks a lot about money, all right? Almost up to 40% of the parables are on money. 2,000 verses compared to 500 verses in prayer and faith and the gospel has got about 10%, and about 20% of the Sermon of the Mount talks about money. So if God says that this is important for us, it's important for Him, then we should. You know why? Because when it comes to the issue of money, there is deception. And the deception starts with what is in our heart. And it's so easy for us to be deceived. That's why the word called entrapment of greed. And this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. And take note, the background is Ephesus. In fact, it is called the first and greatest metropolis of Asia. It's almost like Shanghai or Dubai and so on, where all the rich people, all the guapo, handsome, whatever people are all there. And, you know, and in the church, so Timothy is a young pastor in the church, and in the church got many very successful people. So rich people, money is something sought after. It's basically an indication of your success in life. And also there are some false teachers. Go and look up. You go and read the start of chapter 6. It talks about the false teachers who say that, hey, you know what? If God blesses us, then it should be evident in our money and our success and so on. So these were the people who were preaching the gospel for personal gain. And this is the context of what we want to look at. So Paul wrote a letter and said, hey, Timothy, you need to take note of this. And this place is so amazing that if you remember, this is the temple of Artemis. If you remember, I think in Acts 19, when Paul went and preached the gospel and basically cast out all these demons and so on. And so the business of all the soothsayers and all these fortune tellers in the temple of Artemis, they lost the business. And Demetrius actually was there to raise up a kind of like a, what do you call it, a mob, you know, and brought Paul to this temple. So that is the temple of the great of Artemis. In fact, it's, during those days, it's called one of the seven wonders. So you have to look at the context of where rich city, metropolis and so on, very able people, successful people. And here Paul has to remind Timothy and say, be careful when you look at the topic of money. So let's read this. Six verses over here. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Wow. Godliness with contentment, we got great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with this, we will be content. But this is the warning. Those who desire to be rich fall into many temptations, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving, this obsession, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, Timothy, O man of God, flee from these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession, as we all have, in the presence of many witnesses. Father, let us pray. Father, I want to commit this time into your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom to be able to come and meet and gather. Protect us, O Lord, and continue to work on the effects of this COVID. So, Father, this morning as we gather together and want to study your word, I pray that you open our hearts, you open our minds, so that your word and the truth will become real to us, each and every one of us, so that we can look at the issue of money and wealth in your perspective, and so that we might be blessed, that we might have the abundant life that you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question we ask is that one more. We always think the answer is yes, why not? Right? But then we see just now, you think really one more? You want more food? That's what happened to my stomach now, 1.5 pack. Too much food, you know? So everything, there is a limit. So the question for us in God is, when is enough enough in the area of money? Especially when we look at the Bible, it talks about we are the head and not the tail. You know, God wants to give you abundant life and so on. So sometimes we wonder, where do we stop? I mean, do we just say that, oh, you know, as a Christian, we cannot ask for more? But we saw just now that in the area of money, we have to be extra careful. And it applies for all of us. It doesn't matter how old or young, how rich or poor. And we have seen throughout history, throughout the entire Bible, you see that when we are not careful. So the word is beware, right? So the question we want to ask ourselves today is, I hope we can find out from the book of Timothy that we've read, that we will draw some principles to help us on a good handle to say, hey, you know, each day I can get up in the morning and ask myself, hey, am I leaning on the side of greed, of covetousness? Because if you look at it, right, even in another passage here, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, just to remind us, the key thing here is that the greedy will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm concerned about this, right? Because it says here, oh, do you not know that the unrighteous, right? And what are unrighteous? Will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? The immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, and so on, and greedy, drunkards, and so on, they will not. So I want to make sure that I walk a life that is along the right balanced path and so on. So when we talk about greed, the question we ask is, you know, what is enough? Because if I said, I want more, I want more, I want more, that means I, you know, am on the spirit of being greedy. But at the same time, do we mean to say that we can't ask God for things? No, because on the other hand, if we have that poverty spirit, it's also not a testimony of God's goodness and abundance for us. If you look at it, so poverty is like, I don't have enough, right? You know, I want more. In reality, the attitude is exactly the same. If you are greedy, I want more, but I don't have enough also. Isn't it? I got a million, but I still want more. That means you don't have enough, bro. Right? At the same time, when you say that, oh, I don't have so much money, but you know, right, I want more, I need more, and so on. So the mentality, the problem here is this. When our mind is focused on the things around us, then that's a big danger where we either go to poverty spirit or into the greed, covetous spirit. Because the Bible even tells us that, you know, that if we want to put this balance, even having the attitude of saying, oh, you know what, you know, money is not important because everything about spirit is wonderful, anything about natural, material things is evil and so on, that is also wrong. There's a group of people who goes around and say that, oh, you're a Christian now. How come you dress so nice clothes? Huh? Because it's materialism, you know. So that is what we call asceticism. That means we believe that people who go around there to be holy means you must not love anything natural. No lipstick, no six-pack. That's why I'm okay, you know, right? You know, yeah, so we tend to just like say that material things are bad. That's also wrong. That means we don't believe that we have a purpose on this earth. That's why I like when Paul says that, godliness with contentment. So that means in our life, I give a simple tip already. That if you wake up each morning and say, how much money have I got? Oh, you know, Mio has got more, I don't like it, and so on. Then you know what? You will be either flipping on the side of being greedy or being poor, and I'm so, you know, right, I just have to suffer because for the sake of God, nobody else will suffer. This one is like, you know, you're so sincere, want to suffer, but sincerely wrong.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you know, actually God didn't ask you to torture yourself and don't eat and so on. But you say, I got to do it because, you know, it is holy. After all, I say that materialism is bad. So both sides are wrong. And the problem is because when we human beings, we focus on the material things around us. That's why it's our assets. We wake up in this morning and we count our money. People say, right, the mindsets will count every night before go to bed, they count their money. Oh, it takes 2 hours to count their money and then keep it inside, right? But the reality is they don't use the money. They just keep it there, hide up under the bed in the floor. So you might as well give the money all away and count. Pretend to count because it doesn't matter. You have no money that you count every night. I've got 10 million. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have. You got 10 million, got 1 million, it is stuck in the floor. So why count the money? See, this is our problem. And I love it when we look into the Bible and we open our hearts and see what is the alignment with it. It all starts with our attitude. We look at money in the right way, everything is right. It's true, isn't it? You get up in the morning and say, oh, what a lousy day. What a terrible day I'm going to have this. And the whole day will be bad. But I say, hey, you know what? It's going to be a tough day. But whatever it is, I know when I face a problem, I can ask God. I can ask God for help. Completely changes everything. So materialism versus asceticism. It's all focusing on the issue of money. That's why contentment comes with godliness. So the first thing we want to look at is, if I want to wonder whether or not I'm asking too much or too little, I start off by asking my mind, what is my mindset? What is the meaning of godliness? It talks about the godly heart response. That means it starts with our heart and ask, what is it that God calls for me to do today? What is one way I can impact people around me? I don't know who I'm going to meet, but whoever I meet, am I able to make the opportunity to impact them on the gospel of Christ, honor God, make disciple? If I do that, then I have this attitude. That means I should start off not by counting my money, I should start off by counting my opportunities, what I want to do. So when they talk about godliness, it's our inner response to the things of God. Outwardly, people can see it. We talk about God, we worship God, we are thankful and so on. I think if we start on that journey, we are probably on a good path. There are still other things for us to check in, right? It is only when we have this godliness that we talk about contentment. What's the meaning of contentment, right? Autarkia. So actually, autarkia is consisted of two words, autos and, you know, archaea. That means it talks about sufficient. That means I have enough. And I don't know whether you are old enough to remember this series, but I've just found out. I just found out that they have a new version. MacGyver. MacGyver is this guy, right? No matter what happens, he will always find something around him and, you know, and solve the problem, right? You throw him in the sea, he will find something, maybe a dolphin there, and then, you know, he climbed over. Whatever it is. So this guy is crazy, right? And this is the picture of that contentment, meaning that, no, he's not content, but whatever situation he is in, he won't complain to God, oh, why me, you know? He'll just say, what can I have? What do I have? What can I do? That is the concept of that sufficiency. So that means it doesn't matter what you ask for. You can ask for things. God, I want a new BMW. At the end of the day, oh, why you need a BMW? I want to go out to that side and preach the gospel, right? That's okay. That's okay. And now whether your heart is true, I don't know. I'm not here to judge. But say, yeah, God, I want to reach the gospel now because godliness. So you ask, and this is a good test. Because at the end of the day, so when are you going to go preach gospel? After lunch, I'm going to go. Right? So you keep praying, please, BMW, drop from sky. But when the BMW doesn't come, what do you do? Hey, God, man, how can I preach the gospel by a BMW? That's not content. So content, you can ask for anything. You can ask for anything. And you can even pretend to put it like, God, I'm doing it for you. Because God's going to test when the time for His answers to come. So that's why MacGyver is a great, great representation. No matter what it is, he doesn't complain. So one of the signs of us, you know, focusing on material things is when we're complaining, we're not happy and so on, right? We are ungrateful. That is a danger for all of us, right? I'm not saying that that's an issue of greed, but we should have a stop and say, hey, God, you know, why am I feeling like this? Actually, God is amazing. The way God has designed us, we've got our thinking, we've got our feeling, and this is so many amazing messages from our emotions. Do you know that? It is the emotion that tells us, hey, are you leaning on to this side of deception? Are you leaning on this side of greed or what? Because our heart's so deceitful. So I think one of the things is that we have to ask ourselves is that, do we have the attitude of whatever happens, I have sufficient? I'm enough. I may not have the BMW now. I got a Grab car. You know, or I walk there. If you're serious, only then we can see. That's why this quote over here by one of very well-known gospel writers says, contentment is not by addition. So most of the time, say, I'm not happy because I don't have this, I don't have that, I need this, I need that. So the issue of contentment is not asking for things to add, but actually seeking, you know, seeking to add a thing so that I will bring contentment. Instead, it should be subtracting from our desires. Now, that's why I say I need the balance. I'm not saying that, oh, I have no desire, right? I don't need anything. No, we can ask for things, but when things don't come, let us not just focus on why can't I get it and then focus on I'm unhappy because the things I desired is not being fulfilled. So we should remove that. Maybe it's not so godly after all asking for BMW. Right? You go for a BMW, you're going to visit someone in the countryside, maybe they get threatened by you. That's why God is all-knowing. You better go in a bicycle. A bicycle that's a bit punctured, then you can relate to them. No, it's true. So that's why it tests our heart. You know, are you serious about this? Because it's easy for me to say, I love God. But where's the evidence? And not only evidence, the test is whether we love God is when things doesn't go our way. And this is what's going to happen in this world. This world is imperfect. Even though you think you're perfect, the world is imperfect. The things will always go wrong. And what does that tell us? So why do we need to have this reminder? Because Paul says, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. You think about this simple statement, but it's got such big impact. What does it mean? It talks about our entire life on earth. So what is it? You come to work, even life is not determined by you. At the end of life, it's not determined by you. We are given an opportunity to walk on earth here. And the purpose of our walking on earth is not to collect money. Because you know why? No matter how much you collect, you go out. Oh, my uncle died a millionaire, you know? Died a billionaire. No. He died empty. Because it doesn't matter how rich he is, he died kosong, zero. You are exactly the way you came as a baby. And if you look at all the amazing thing about God's design is that look at all the living creatures on this world, in this world, and the human baby is the only category of creation or beings that requires the longest period of nurturing. A bird, I don't know, I'm not expert in birds, but I tell you, it's not won't be like, for a human being, we need to look after them until they're how old? Sometimes 21 years old, still have to look after them. Right? Yeah, I mean, to parents, they're always in need. But they are the one. And we come into a world like that, we are so helpless, we are so vulnerable, and God can take care of that. And all we are so worried how to get more money and so on. And this is where we get stuck and we get into our troubles and so on because we are focusing on the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to desire. I tell you my story. You know, I come from a really poor family, much poorer than any of you here. Throw a stone, I can tell you for sure. You know, my parents are very uneducated. But I look back and I'm amazed. I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of things. My car is much smaller than you. Smaller than your car, right? Yeah, I don't have a lot. My friends from childhood, they probably got more houses than me and so on. But you know what? I just realized that when I met the Lord for the last about 30 years, I am so rich. Because why? I don't have to worry about where my next meal is come from. I don't have to worry about our kids had a chance to be sent abroad. If you would ask me when I got married and I got a kid, and if you would ask me what plans for you, I mean for your kids, I can't talk properly now because, right? What are plans? I would have no clue. I would have no idea, no way. I won't have the money to send them anywhere. And yet through the process. Now, I'm not saying that my life is perfect. There are challenges. Sometimes I'm a bit greedy. Sometimes I'm a little bit acting like poverty. I'm better than others and so on, right? And a lot of things I've done wrong. But the amazing thing is when we have Christ, when we have Christ and we get up each morning and say, God, tell me what I'm doing that's not right. And I don't know what the outcome will be, but I can tell you, you have a much better life than if you don't have God and all you're interested in is making money. Because when I was younger, since I come from a poor family, my only dream is I want to make money. I want to start a business and I'm not afraid of hard work. You ask April, we got married. I worked with a full-time job. I come back home, have dinner. I go and work my company until 3 a.m. every night for almost a year. and all this came to nothing. And I wasn't a Christian. I would have spent my entire life chasing after all of this. After all of this. And nothing until we met the Lord. And of course, I gave up all my business. And I tell you, it's a completely different world. Which is why I said, over here, you're going to see, right? Our life on earth is not with a focus to collect how much money we have. Our life on earth is to learn about God, to discover God, and to be prepared for the kingdom of heaven. This is why he says that if you have food and clothing, all of the focus you worry about food and clothing, this will be content. Food means, it talks about what? Have you got things that can keep you alive? Nourishment, sustenance. If you already have that, you be careful with your attitude. Because you know why? If God has already provided our basic needs of food and shelter, which is protection from elements, we've got a roof over our head and so on, then even if we want something else, it's not there. If we keep our attitude right, then we will find that contentment. Because you know what? If we are complaining, if we are discontent, our mind, our heart will not be at peace. We will always complaining and so on. And you know what? A lot of things in this world, if you are focusing on the problem, you never see the solution. You never see the solution. But if, yes, look at people around me. I wish I can send my kids to a better school. I'm not yet. But you know what, God? I'm content. And I trust you have the best for me. You have the best for me. And you will be amazed. This is exactly what happened to us. I happened to, you know, work for a Japanese company. And the Japanese company liked me so much, you know. And they provide everything. That's why I don't have anything. We don't have money. I mean, okay, we have some money. But we don't have a lot of money. Right? We don't have a property. But for my last 30 years, I never felt that I have to, I'm wondering what's happening. Now, of course, if I want to compare, I've got friends who are like living life to crazy, Maserati, they go for holiday like crazy, they do not. Hey, if I want to look at that, then yes, I'll be very discontent. But that's why we focus on what is it that God has called you to do? Where are you at? So this is that concept of being at peace, being thankful of what you have. And say, God, what can I do this? What is it that you want? What is the godliness call that God has asked you? Right? What is it that you think God wants you to accomplish today, this year? That's the godly part. And then ask yourself, God, what can you give? You can ask. So this is why Socrates, one of the great philosophers, Greek philosophers, says, he who is not contented with what he has now will never be contented with what he would like when he has it. I can guarantee you. So that's why contentment is not about the things you have. Contentment is an issue of your heart and your mind. That's why I start with that. So which is why? Why is it so hard for us to be content? Right? The Bible says, hey, you got food and clothing. Because we human beings, we have this human sickness of You know, not E-R. I got a new phone now. Right? Very nice phone now. Oh, but your phone is bigger. Right? Oh, I'm rich enough. Hey, but that my neighbor is richer, right? And I'm faster and so on. So all this comparison, we have the problem of comparing. When we keep comparing, that is why it starts off with first, what is God call you to do? I can compare with pastor because I compare pastor. How to have two pastor here? No, I'm not going to one. Yeah, right? So who's the pastor here? No, I mean, don't go in like, hey, I want to be like Ned or so on. Then go crazy. God has made you unique. You need to be comfortable with who you are. Because when you compare, this is always the problem. This is the problem. When we compare, what's going to happen? We start complaining. How come this guy got six pack? Huh? I try so hard, never one pack. Right? There's so many things we compare. Money, relationship. The best thing we always compare, husband and wife, isn't it? Oh, why can't you be like the person's wife? Why can't you be like the person's husband? Oh, we have been there. Isn't it? That's the contentment. So contentment is not about money, you know. It's about a lot of things, about your success and so on, how you look, right? Who's smarter, who's one. Hey, guys, we only have one life to live. I tell you that. If you want to compare, there's just so many things. Why don't we wish we are living in Austria? So nice, you know, right? It'd be endless. It will be endless. That's why comparison is such a deadly human disease. It will make you either so upset at God or make you so proud. You go crazy. I tell you today, you go, sunshine. Don't talk about sunshine. You walk out here, you try and say, compare this guy, you feel. You compare the guy, you feel so bad. Why? And by the way, the person you're comparing with don't even know you. You are the one like, why are you so smarter than me? Why? You're crazy. Right? So focus. Ask God. God, what do you want me to be? Right? Now, when we start to compare, that's when complain, and then that's when we covet. Which is why the world out there knows it so well. Buy now, cry later. Yeah. And not only this, right? And you see all the signs, don't miss out, don't miss out. Because, hey, I better get first before my neighbor gets it. You see, this is our emotion, I tell you. And our emotion, if you don't call it out, it will call you. If you don't master emotion, emotion will master you. For sure. Bye. And then you regret. Right? So you see, there's so many things. Oh, don't wait until they're sold out. Oh, these marketing people are so good. Right? I mean, we can make a lot of money. I can make a lot of money by putting on, go to the kids, go to school, talk to the mother. Hey, this kid's gone. For sure, the mother will call in. But that is greed, you know. I can make a lot of money understanding the human disease of human beings. And you can make a lot of money. Because people are driven by greed. And you and I, if we want to focus on creating this one, we can make tons of money. But don't do it. Don't do it because you are now leading on the wrong track. And more important now is that buy now, pay later. There's so many schemes. And even better yet, they make you feel not so guilty. Life is too short, girl. Buy now, cry later. So what happens, you see? And this is a great economist. You know what it says? The market is a very emotion. It's our emotions. That the world out there is really triggering our emotions. Because if we don't manage our emotions, it is when we make a lot of hasty decisions. And this is expert. That's why people say there's 1% of the people in the world who controls the world. Because they know exactly how to trigger emotion. Buy. Right? And he says the market is a very emotional place that appeals to fear and greed. And he says what? When fear and greed tends to affect our judgment. Now you see why we need to just be content, first of all, with God. Because if we have wrong emotions, even God provides an answer, we don't see it. And then we still complain to God. And see, these are data here to see how many percent. 23% of what, you know, they buy things they don't need. They regret, right? 40% of people buy on impulse. This is a big problem. So now the question is, how do I know I'm greedy? 3 steps. That's a warning. So remember we said that if we focus on I want more and so on, this is going to lead us on a road of destruction. But on the other hand, does that mean that we don't ask for anything? That means we're just complacent or almost lazy, right? So what's the difference? Complacent means I don't have any hope, I don't have any expectation, I don't need anything, you know, I won't ask God for anything. So that's also wrong, which is why we need to be in the center to say that we don't ask for things, but the things we ask for is for the kingdom of God. And then whenever God gives me, I am happy. So here is the problem. Here is the warning. How do I know that I'm leaning on the side of greed? There are 3 steps that can lead us to destruction. The first step is that when we have the desire to be rich. Now take note. Desires are not wrong. When they talk about desire to be rich, it's talking about I want more money for myself. And the key thing is that it's a comparison thing. That I believe there are more money, people look up to me, people have more respect and so on. That is what, you know, the attitude is there. So when we look at, you know, this is a really interesting article from one of the business schools, a non-Christian, right? And it says that these are the 7 signs of a greedy person. It's so true. The first one is the overly self-centered behavior. So that means you want to be rich, all you're interested in so that I look good, so that people think, you know, I have more power. Number 2, envy. Whereas envying, right, other people's possession, right? And lack of empathy. That means I don't care. You know, I don't care about others, right? I don't want to understand. Never satisfied. They are never satisfied. And we are so good at manipulation if we have that spirit of greed, right? And we focus on the short term. That's why we only want now. And there are no limits. That's why people go through a lot of criminality because of greed. This is so dangerous. This is the problem. The danger with desire is that it can be so easily camouflaged. That's why the word, if you look at, am I greedy? Have you ever heard somebody asking, hey, Mio, can you pray for me? Pray for what? I'm greedy, you know. Nobody, there's no one in the world will say that, please pray for me, I'm greedy. Because this disease is so cleverly hidden. But you said, oh, you know, I'm so impatient. I have a bad temper. Or, you know, I don't trust God. We all can admit all of this one, but none of us, not one single person said, I'm greedy. Not one. Because Satan is so clever to camouflage greed. into that desire. It's for your kids, it's to honor God and so on. That's why in this case here, see, Tammy, recently we watched a Netflix documentary movie on Tammy. You should watch it, it's so sad. I think they all started out with a good intention to want to save people and so on. But you know what happened? They got into trouble. Because that is why when we have that desire, if we don't check the desire, it will turn into deception. It will deceive us, right? So what's deception? Deception means there's a trap that we don't see it. And we step into it and we get caught. And look at this one. Whoa, JJPTR. Wow. Hey, create and build the opportunity you want, become rich. Huh? You know what? $1.7 billion lost. See, that's a trap. Come and join us. Make money first. Of course, and we all know it. We all know it. That if you go first, you'll get money. But that is the trap. You think you can get money? Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So that's the one. That's why scams. I tell you, I'm ashamed to say that Malaysia, we are the king of money game. Even now recently, Squid Game, they sell a cryptocurrency. And they lost I don't know how many million. See, over and over again, and the people who got deceived are not just uneducated people, poor people. It is all category. Greed is that. So think about it. Your desire. Check your desire. Is it for yourself or for God? Number two is, you know, if you don't check your desire, then you then to justify. And finally, that's when destruction, ruin. So two things. Ruin is the damage you face on earth here. Destruction is your eternal, right? That's why it's called, you know, apoleia. It means it's, you know, you might even lose the faith. And this is what Paul says. So what is a ruin? You find that no matter how much money we earn and spend, the happiness level is still the same. So happiness is not from buying materials. And you look at all the stress point is about money. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough savings. That is a ruin. And even the secular people says, right? Are we trading our happiness? We think we can find happiness in the things, but we cannot. We even get richer. And Jack Ma says this, you know, right? It's a great pain to be rich. Because now I'm so rich. I don't know when people come to me. They come to me because of money or because who I am. So he says there's great pain. You know what he says? For me to get rid of great pain, I have to give back money. I'm going to look for him soon, right? Oh, sorry. He didn't say it, but he talked about charity, right? So for the love of money is the root. Give me two more minutes. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's a craving, that desire. I want more. I want to be better, my friends, and so on. All these things, you check it out, right? And this is how do we protect ourselves from the entrapment of greed? So these last three things I want to say. So the measurement or the test of greed is when we allow our desires to go wild. Number two, that's when we get deceived and then we get destroyed. So now these are the three things that Timothy says, now, O man of God, flee from these things, right? So it says, first of all, flee from the pursuit of money. Secondly, you know, there's an escape. It's like a fugitive, you know. When you're a fugitive, you want to hide. You want to vanish. You don't want any kind of, you know, money scam. No, of course, they're going to come money scam. Make money, right? You're going to be rich. You're going to be have your own business and all. Those kind of things, flee from it, right? Easy money come. There's always a trap. Number two is, you know, we follow. Actually, the word follow is not good. I just want to have three F's. Huh? But it should be like you chase after, right? You pursue. It's the energy. So the follow is like with all your haste and so on. You chase after the things of God. Righteousness, godliness, faith. Righteousness is our behavior on earth that represents the goodness of God, right? Godliness is putting all of our things of God and so on. Of course, faith, we need to grow. And then finally, I like this. Focus on the important thing in your life. Remember, we come in naked, we live naked. So that focus is not on our earth. The focus is on the eternal calling. And I want to close off with this. And Philippians 4:11-13 says, for now, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situations I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So let me tell you, the secret of contentment is that we must start having Christ in our lives. When we have Christ in our life, He will provide all that we need and we can ask Him. And with that, I want to summarize to say that we must be aware of that desire for richness, the deception and destruction of love money. And in order for us to keep ourselves on the right track, we want to flee from this pursuit. We want to follow the things of God, and we want to remember that we are called to be prepared for a life in eternity. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we truly thank you, Lord, for your reminder to all of us. Father, we know that these are the principles that we know to be true, that we have experienced, and we've seen our brothers and brethren experience this. So, Lord, we want to just ask for your Holy Spirit to remind us and to keep us on the right track, to check in with your Holy Spirit, to be washed by your word, Lord. We just commit all of this into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.